point, okay, we can communicate as individuals, and then we'll make a request when, anytime we're doing things, we'll make a request that council approve that it goes out on emails and so forth.
I think that's fair.
Is that sufficient?
Yes.
I think it is. Do you guys agree?
Okay, I can live with that.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Okay.
So you're going to talk to your six guys or girls and then get back to us?
Sure enough.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person to address council will be Mr. Michael Benton. Please give your name and address.
My name is Michael Benton, and my wife and I are at 117 South Third. We have the house beside the new parking lot, which we understand that the town needs the parking lot. We have a building. Glad to see it there versus something else for now. The problem we do have with the parking lot is the speeding of the people going in and out. There's no control in the parking lot. What affects me is I have grandchildren, and there's other children coming in and out of the parking lot. They come to the beach, they're excited, they get out of the cars. Their cars are literally going so fast the coolers and stuff are bouncing in the back going down from the entrance going in there. And it's a true concern, and you know, I hate to see anyone get run over. The other concern is the dust that comes from. I mean, we used to sit on our back porch. I invite any of y'all to come sit on my back porch tomorrow and see how bad it is. What I would like to propose, which I think will work, is a couple speed bumps in the entrance. Just some gravel to make a couple speed bumps to slow the cars going in and out. Very cheap, very effective. We can put speed limit signs up all day long, 5 mile an hour. They're not going to pay any attention.
Yes, sir.
If we can't come up with an effective way to slow them down, then they're going to continue to speed in. When they back in from Fort Fisher Boulevard and they turn around, they're it's bent to get back out that entrance. And they have literally, when they get to the entrance, they don't slow down. I mean, there's another concern there. What's going to happen when their car's coming in the blind spot on 3rd Avenue and they're peeling out of there with their heads rode back half full of beer? I mean, I think we have an issue that we need to address there. And they concern now as a community.
Do you have a recommendation about that turning out on the street? Are you talking about a stop sign or?
Well, a stop sign, as of any other sign, if they'll stop there, I think possibly my recommendation, if we have an extra cruiser on weekends, park it at the corner, in the corner parking space. Sure, we lose one parking space, but we make people aware that we have a presence. Another question, well, the dust is, y'all got to understand how bad the dust is. I don't know, the fire department could wait it, they hadn't rained in 2 weeks. I've been out there wasting my water on it, which with it 90 degrees is almost like
yes, sir.
Spitting on it. But Fort Fisher Boulevard is, why could we not have a right turn on the exit out on the Fort Fisher Boulevard? I mean, what impact? I can understand the impact if we wanted to go all the way across. That would definitely could have an impact. A right turn not only on the Fort Fisher Boulevard, I think would have very little impact on traffic because we have a stoplight, it's stopping traffic. Right turn only gives them a chance to go out, make their circle around the block, helps eliminate them coming down 3rd Street and wanting to go up the wrong side of 3rd Street. I feel like that could be a benefit. I mean, I'd love to see an entrance and an exit, but I feel like I'm pushing my request to y'all to get one of that. But I feel like an exit with a right turn only would be a very reasonable thing for people to do out there. Overnight parking. We have, people have no input. They come in there, they've already been spending the night in their cars.
Well, I apologize for that, but yeah, we'll see that.
We need to fix it.
On our beach access, I think we have signs that there is no overnight parking.
Yeah.
They come in, they stand beside their vehicles, they urinate right there. I mean, it's nothing that nobody can stop anybody from doing. We realize that. I think a little more police presence would help some of the problems with that, changing clothes beside the cars and that sort of thing. And I'm sure y'all already heard some of these complaints already. But I just think a little more police presence in there. The car probably on the weekends when we do have such a high volume of traffic could be a big plus to help slow people down. I mean, if I say something to them, I've been cussed out more than you want to hear. I put a sign up that said, slow, please. And this is not every car that does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 60% of them go in just as good as me or you would.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other percentage that goes in that literally scares you sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty much what I've got to say about it. And I appreciate you listening to me.
Well, I would like, to, if I can, I just wanted to go over some of the recommendations that you had. If I may,
perfect.
Make sure that we have them as we think about this. You mentioned speed bumps. You mentioned the right-hand turn on the Fort Fisher. You mentioned stop sign on 3rd Street. You mentioned potentially parking cruiser in one of the spaces. You mentioned wet down and just increased police presence.
Yes.
Was that the list of ideas? I think I got them all.
Yes,
and it's not
okay.
No overnight parking.
Some very good ideas in there, I think.
I mean, the speed bumps, I think in the entrance and the exit, you know, we get one about the middle, one where there's used to be a little block wall that went down mm-hmm. through there. I'm sure y'all all looked at the thing.
Yeah.
That's where it opens them up in the main part. We get a couple, not about talking about nothing that somebody's going to hang up on, but something to slow them down. I think that would be as much beneficial as we could ask for in there to help control the traffic.
Yes, sir. We also control a little bit of the dust, I think.
It certainly will.
And
if we can keep them down to 5 miles an hour, then you're not going to have near the dust issue.
Because if you see the dust, also people are trying to enjoy a meal outside of seeing the dust.
Certainly.
Probably. So,
I mean, this morning the city came down and tried to mow what little bit of grass is left there. You couldn't even see the guy on the lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dust bowl now, and that's it's just the nature of that many cars. When you go on a Saturday, probably 100 cars at least exiting and entering in there. I mean, you've got 41 spaces in there, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and so that's 40. If a car didn't come down and turn around, or a car didn't leave, you got 82 trips right there.
Mm-hmm.
In and out. So, but you know, more people are coming in. They're looking for parking places,
mm-hmm.
and that's all well and good. We can live with that as a neighbor.
Well,
we can't live with is the speeding and the and
yes,
some
sir.
Of the,
we appreciate you bringing all this to our attention, Mr. Benton.
Yeah. Thanks for the ideas. You know, it's one thing to say there's a problem. Thanks for the ideas.
We hope that we can not have to call the police department every 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
And so far, I haven't done that. I wanted to come to the meeting, give y'all my request. I will call them every 10 minutes if I have to.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. Tommy?
It was bad on Main Street going down to East Worship. It's been bad through there.
Okay. We have a letter.
I ran over Wednesday by somebody.
What do we need to do?
It's getting bad.
These ideas into effect.
It's getting bad.
We can discuss it with the police department.
Bad.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll
thank you.
Can
we
get direction?
I'm telling you, one city's going to be bad. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
You want to?
Yeah, I
want to
go ahead.
You want to give Nancy direction
to get these?
Well, how about let's hear the other impact, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So first, thank you, Mr. Ben. One, I appreciate you were very positive and professional versus just Oh, woe is me. I do appreciate that. And so the second person is Linda Hudgens. She's not here. She sent something when we moved our meeting. She couldn't be here. And she asked that it be read, so I got chosen by the mayor to read. So I apologize for my southern drawl. This is from Miss Linda Hudgens. Her husband and her live at 118 South 3rd Avenue, where they've resided since October 2011. They'd like to thank the council for the opportunity to address them. This evening I'd like to speak regarding, well, it's afternoon I guess, but I'd like to speak regarding the parking lot that was recently installed between Fort Fisher Boulevard and South 3rd Avenue. It's a policy, and this is in quotations, it's a policy of the town of Curie Beach to educate the public on planning concerns. All meetings will be appropriately advertised and adequately publicized, and public meetings and hearings will continue to be held to discuss special land use issues and keep citizens informed. This is a quote found in Part 2, Section 2, Policies for Growth and Development of the Town of Curie Beach Land Use Plan, adopted September 27, 2006, and amended October 16, 2007. I emphasize fully with the town's need for additional parking, and do not envy you your job, which is to find a resolution to the parking dilemma in the downtown area of Curie Beach. As established residents, however, it's important to us that our quality of life be taken into consideration when endeavors such as this parking lot are being considered. In order for residents to be allowed the opportunity to express their concerns regarding new uses of land by the town, they need time to become informed that an issue exists and plan to attend council meetings accordingly. In the meeting minutes for May 20th, 2014 town council meeting, it was noted that the council agreed to withdraw their offer to pair the owner of the private lot for the use of a parking lot. 10 days later, on Friday, May 30th, 2014 at 6 p.m., notice of a special public meeting on the topic of this parking lot was posted to the town website. The following Monday, June 2nd at 4 p.m., the special public meeting was held with no public present, and council voted unanimously to move forward with installing a parking lot. I've listened to the audio for this meeting, and at no time was there any discussion regarding the impact of the lot or additional traffic may have on residents nearby. Town residents were given exactly 24 hours notice to become aware of the pending consideration of the installation of the parking lot, to see notice of the meeting, and to plan to attend said meeting. All an issue that was for the last town meeting closed due to withdrawal of the offer to lease the lot. The town of Curie Beach, and in parentheses as well now, the town of Curie Beach wishes to keep the small town atmosphere which long-term residents have come to love. The town of Curie Beach policy strongly supports an enhanced environment for tourism, and then in a different font, expansion of existing public facilities which will serve to only increase day visitors to the town will be discouraged. These are also quotes taken from the same part and section of the land use plan. This parking lot is without a doubt attracting day visitors. As you will hear in a moment, it appears to be attracting some of the worst element of day visitors, those who have no respect nor consideration for residents and property within the vicinity of the parking lot. I'm aware that this parking lot is a done deal. I do, however, hope that the following feedback regarding our experiences thus far will be taken into consideration by council. This feedback is based on the past two Saturdays since the lot was finished and put into use. Number one, a stop sign needs to be placed at the South 3rd Avenue exit entrance. People are whipping out of the lot without stopping, and there have been numerous near misses with vehicles driving north down South 3rd Avenue. Someone is going to get T-boned. This is also creating a hazard for many people that walk down this block of South 3rd Avenue on their way to downtown. In fact, we would appreciate it greatly if council would consider having the South 3rd Avenue entrance exits be the only entrance and exit. There are 6 children under the age of 10 on this block of South 3rd alone, and the additional traffic on this block is of great concern. On Saturday, June 7th, the lot was full by 2 p.m. That is approximately 80-plus vehicles coming and going out of the South 3rd exit in one day. Number two, we found what appeared to be leftover bait thrown on the side of the road and into our front yard. In the heat, it quickly turned putrid, and the smell and mess were awful. While we did not witness who did this, I can say this has never occurred before the installation of the parking lot. Number three, in the evenings, my husband and I like to sit on our porch after the temperature cools. Since the lot has opened, we find ourselves assaulted by headlights less than 50 feet away, shining into our eyes as each car leaves the lot. Number four, I witnessed a large group of day visitors park their vehicles, and two women with several children walk to the area between the Moran Motel and an apartment behind the hotel to change in their bathing suits. and five, I've watched two different vehicles have people park their car, get out of the car, and urinate beside their vehicles before getting their beach gear out of the vehicle and head to the beach. Number six, a vehicle parked in the lot on Saturday and remained in the lot that night. The occupant slept in his car in the lot Saturday night. The car was still there Sunday morning, so I can only assume we went back to the beach Sunday. This is only what we've seen from 3rd Avenue's side of the parking lot, from the road parking slots that run parallel to the Moran Motel. We do not know what kind of similar incidents may be occurring in the remaining portion of the parking lot. Thank you again for your time and consideration. So, just want to make sure you got that in.
She hit upon some of the same problems that you did, and we'll see if we can't straighten it out.
So, go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I think I'd like to make a motion. We have Nancy speak to the other department heads and investigate these six recommendations to see what we can do with them and how quickly we can, which ones we should incorporate and how quickly we can do it. Anything to add to that?
So, Nancy's, do we need to add to the agenda before we talk to take action on this? Or can we take action from the comments? Just want to make sure.
Yeah,
so from my standpoint, I don't know that we need feedback for the stop sign and the speed bumps. I think I would make a motion, council direct the public works.
Well, you already have a motion.
Okay.
Then if you would read those.
I'll rescind mine until we resolve Craig's, and then I'll make a different one.
All right.
So what are the items? You said these six items.
Six items, speed bump, right-hand turn onto Fort Fisher, stop sign.
Clear on third, though.
Sorry.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to.
Just the exit, so people stop before they actually turn out. Potential park a cruiser, unmanned cruiser. We'd have to talk to Dennis about increased police presence. And the potential, I'm not sure what we can do about wet down. That'll probably need some more discussion.
That would be the... Well, I want to add one to that, Craig.
Yes.
Just the sign saying no overnight parking.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We need to enforce that.
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Discussion first.
Right. Discussion.
So...
Yeah, we don't have a second.
There's not a second yet. So I have to ask for discussion.
Second before you discuss it.
Okay, one of you guys want a second?
No. Steve seconded.
Okay, discussion, Mr. Mayor. So while I think some of these need department head input, like the fire department blowing water down there, the fire chief should sign off on, and parking a cruiser down there or moving staff around, I think the police chief should address. I think that there's a couple of them that council can go ahead and make the decision on, right? The one for having the exit on the Fort Fisher Boulevard, I want the police chief to look at as well.
Right.
But the two that I think we can just go ahead and do and direct the Public Works Department to do as soon as expeditiously as possible, they probably won't get to it now since it's Friday afternoon until next week, would be the stop sign. I don't think any department is going to have a problem with the town council putting a stop sign, leaving a parking lot, and the speed bumps. I don't think any department is going to have any problems. So,
and the sign saying no parking.
And the sign saying no overnight parking. All three of those, I think we don't need to wait for any feedback from the department.
I'm just as a point, I'm wondering if the sign that says no parking after midnight.
We should probably make it the same as the ones at the beach accesses, and the only reason I say that is because we know that those hold up in any reviews, right? So we had those reviews.
Could be fishing all night. It could be New Year's Eve. It, you know, so. But
definitely those three. Kind of my position is we should go ahead and do that, right? We've had multiple citizens request. They make sense, and I can't, unless you guys can see where a department head would have a problem with speed bumps in a lot that we don't drive public vehicles over,
or
a stop sign.
I'm okay with that, David.
So do we have to...
So do you want to amend
Motion?
Just
want to amend the motion?
Just like that?
Yes.
Okay.
So, want him to do it or me to do it? Does he have to do it?
All right, well, then I'll amend the motion. I move we have Public Works add speed bumps and a stop sign to the public parking at the Curry Beach Motel area. And the, what was the other one?
No overnight parking sign
as soon as possible. And that the other remaining suggestions be reviewed by the necessary department heads.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
I would also like to thank the couple for coming and pointing these issues out to us. And I would like to contact the woman who sent the letter to us. And if you would also contact any of your other neighbors, asking them that if you see people camping out or parking, sleeping in their cars overnight, please do call the police department.
I think you just need to send a thing in the minutes to the lady, Ms. Ludwig, that we have addressed this. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
All right. Now that that's out of the way, committee business.
Yes.
Discussion and consideration of committee business. Do we need to take a break, anybody? Dr. Jack, okay. Board of Adjustment. Nancy, you going to...
Anything from Board of Adjustment?
Okay. Community Center Committee.
No.
Marketing Committee. We have the 2014 budget and marketing plan. He's from the school board, right? Let's do it back. $160 million. Crap. To raise money.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Robin Olipa, and I'm the chairperson for the Marketing Advisory Committee here in Curry Beach. And I want to thank you for having me today. I'm here to present the proposed budget allocations for the fiscal year 14-15. Before I do so, I'd like to give you just a brief, I'll be very official if you come on, just a brief overview of the strategy, the marketing strategy for 14-15. So, who are we trying to get to come to Curry Beach, and who are we marketing to? That would be families with young children. We're targeting their mindset. That this has been a strategy for a couple of years. We're continuing that focus, and we are layering that in many different areas. And who should we be talking to? Well, we're talking to women. Women are the ones who are making the decisions to come. They're making the decisions on where to go on vacation. They account for 80% of all spending. They're making 70% of the travel decisions, and they are also sharing it with their friends, female friends, other women, and they're controlling where the money is being spent. You may know that the marketing strategy is in primarily focused in the shoulder seasons. So the spring-summer demographic that we're going for, of course it's women, but we are hitting those families with young children, and then the other, the smaller circles, are groups of families, couples, and multi-generational families, and also hitting the rental that caters to the larger groups. The fall demographic is slightly different, of course. The kids are back in school, so we're looking to entice people down, large groups, empty nesters, couples who are coming down, some anglers, and the families with young kids, they're back in school, they're involved in their own activities. So there's a whole process of thinking when we're marketing to folks, and a whole process that people go through when they're planning their trips. And it starts out with the dreaming phase. And in that dreaming phase, they're sitting in Charlotte or they're sitting in High Point in February, and it's cold and it's snowy, and oh my gosh, all they can do is think about, I just want to be at the beach. I want to be where it's warm and fantastic. And they're dreaming, and one of the things that is shown in the research is that they're talking to their family, their friends, and their colleagues, and they're getting information from them during this stage, and they're also using the internet, and those are the highest percentages versus things that have traditionally been influencers. Then there's the planning stage. It's March, it's April, they know they're coming to the beach. And they're, again, using the internet, about 80% of them are using the internet to do the planning to come on vacation. And they're also, again, talking with their family and their friends, getting that peer acknowledgement. Where'd you go last year? What did you do? Where'd you have fun? And that's the information that they're getting, and that's the sources that they're using. We know that when they're here on vacation, when they are having fun, what are they doing? They are sharing photos. They are posting videos. They are going to the oceanfront park, and they're posting videos of people dancing, having a great time. They're showing beautiful, gorgeous photos of the beach, and they're sharing that with their friends. After the vacation, they're doing the exact same thing. They're going home, they're showing pictures of little Johnny with his bucket, playing in the water, having a great time, and it's influencing other people via social media to come here and vacation. So these numbers are between July 1st, 2012 and May 31st, 2013. There were over 65,400 total inquiries about the town. Primarily 63% of those were online. There was an investment of $95,140 for those 65,000 inquiries. The highest number of inquiries, about 63%, came from pay-per-click content and search, meaning internet, and they fell off from there. The total cost per inquiry was $1.45 during that same time period, which is very effective. Between July 1st and October 31st of 2013, there were 16,678 total inquiries, 74% of those were online. That was an investment of almost $23,000 for those inquiries. And the total highest increase came again, 74% from online. It just shows the shift in the type of marketing that's being done from traditional marketing over to the internet. And frankly, it's effective. The numbers, the average cost per inquiry is down to $1.37. That's very effective compared to traditional marketing. This is just a graphic showing you the folks that are coming to the landing pages. In July, when visitation here on the island and here in Kure Beach is high, about 92% of folks just naturally go to the website. That makes total sense. They're here. They're looking things up. And so only about 8% of those visits are driven by advertising, which is fine because we're not really advertising during the high season anyway. If you look at October, however, that traffic falls off some. The natural traffic falls off, but we're still driving people to the website through advertising, and that's important. So all those numbers were past numbers. And on June 24th, next Tuesday, the Marketing Advisory Committee will be presented with the marketing campaign results for fiscal year 2013-14. And we'd love to have you all there to see the success that we suspect the marketing strategies have come through again this year. Before I dive into the budget numbers, I just want to leave you with one other thing. This is a history of the ROT collections. Beginning in 2009 through April of this year. And these numbers are important because it shows the progression of when there was a concentrated strategic effort in marketing and what the results are and what the impact is. And having strategic partners who are executing these plans for the town and having the backing of those partners, these are substantial numbers and a substantial success. And just by going through it and looking at it, I think you can see that. So now I will quickly, I think that you all have the budget in front of you. And I'll just run through quickly the, I'm not going to go through line items, just categories. For advertising, media, and services, the investment is $107,736. That's a decrease of 3.18%. There are no agency fee increases this year. For online management, the total is $28,384. Again, no agency increase. There are several items that were added at the request of the town, including a cross-promotion filter modification, which means that when someone is searching on the website, that Curie Beach properties will come up first. In the past, that's been done in an alpha order, and at the town's request, that change has been made, and that is that line item. Also, responsive site design, that's technology-wise, you want people to be able to see the website no matter what device they're using, whether or not that's an iPad, a mobile phone, etc. And that's just a cost of technology upgrade. Fulfillment, you can see, came down significantly. This is largely in part because of online fulfillment versus traditional fulfillment. And for images and video, the total is $5,060, and the complete budget is $141,480, an increase of 3.2%. And the Marketing Advisory Committee would respectfully ask you to approve this budget. Without the strategy and the continued level of marketing, there is the possibility that continued ROT growth may be jeopardized.
So how do you get input from the businesses on your plan?
How do we get input?
From the Curie Beach businesses.
From Curie Beach businesses. Well, the marketing committee is made up of business leaders.
Who's on there now?
Sam Khalib, Jim Gambrell, Ann Brodsky, myself, Christine Avery, and then our representatives, Emily.
Okay. And so for the rest of the business owners, do you like solicit feedback on the plan, or is it just the people that are on the committee? And then how do you evaluate its success? I understand your measure for room occupancy tax increases, but how do you measure the success at the end of the year from those business owners?
I would measure the success certainly by the RITs. I would measure the success by the inquiries, the number of people that are coming. Also, that our committee members are talking to their fellow business people.
Okay.
If I'm missing something.
That's fine. I just wanted to understand.
Also, answer your question. Since I started working with the committee, I started talking to some of the business owners about what we're doing, and I did find out from a couple of them that were concerned that some of the businesses were not represented in our advertising, like George and Frankie. They had the cafe, but not the Beach Burgers thing, and a couple of other ones like that. And so I went back and talked with you guys and gave you a list of all of those, and they will now be included in either places to shop or places to eat.
Okay, thank you.
We are absolutely open to suggestions as the budget shows. When the town brings us something, we're definitely looking into it, seeing other ways that, for videos and photography. If there's something that if Emily brings us something and it doesn't appear to be represented in the right light, then we talk about it and get it going.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions? Yes, sir.
The Beef's Burger, it won't be represented during the shoulder season because they're closed.
Okay.
Okay, so that's that. I'm going to propose that we cut your budget by 25%.
Okay, then can I ask what other programs would you propose that we do to market to folks outside the area?
I think if we cut it by 25% and check it again next year, that you'll see the Curie Beach is still going up.
And so that certainly is the council's prerogative to vote on programs. And as long as the council recognizes that if you decrease marketing, then there is a risk of decreasing, you know, ROT and market share. And certainly that's your prerogative.
Okay. So what happens? Does that money stay in?
Stays in a
pool. It doesn't go anywhere?
No. Stays in a pool. It doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, is your thought they're going to retroactively, if we ever get Raleigh to do something, give access to that money? Is that sort of your plan?
That's not really the plan.
Well, I want to understand what you're thinking, right? Because I'm not sure if I'm
really don't that. Think we're getting enough bang for our buck, so I want to cut it 25%.
Well, that's why I asked the feedback from the business owner, right? So you're caught up in a discussion that started with your, I think you were at the meeting in Wrightsville Beach, maybe, right?
Yes.
And so that's sort of the discussion for the citizens. The three beach communities tried to get a bill to Raleigh to allow us to use some of this money for sand. As we recognize that the state and the federal governments are pulling back from funding beach renourishment, and we have a big chunk of money that we're going to have to come up for. And so all three communities attempted to get a bill in the sort sessions to the legislature to allow reallocation of the second 3% money that right now is dedicated for marketing to be at the discretion of the individual towns to be put for sand. And so that was unsuccessful, and so now there's different issues on what to do about that, right? So the mayor obviously has a plan or at least a thought, which is interesting. I wish you just said it before. Right now we're talking about the budget, because it'd be nice to let them build a budget based on what they wanted to do, knowing
we've got consistent numbers of everything going up. The police department is, you know, let us know that they got an influx of folks here in the off season and during the season. So I think we need to cut it by 25%. We'll look at the rates next year and see if it did the right thing. If it didn't, then we'll give it back.
Does this mean that you want to decrease the number of people who are coming here?
Yes.
Well, I think maybe it's what you want.
That may be what the mayor would like, but I think there's an opportunity to demonstrate that the town is growing through a lot of things: word of mouth, oceanfront park, free concerts, free parking where there is no other free parking, and the thought is that maybe we don't need to spend all of this money to sustain and grow, that there's a lot of other self-funding or self-growing initiatives that are going on in the town already, based on some of the things that the town is doing. I recognize this is shoulder season. Now, 25% is that's about $30,000.
At $32,000 or something.
$32,000. I mean, as business individuals, a lot of us have dealt with reductions on our budget, do more with less, continue to improve. I think from the perspective of moving forward, I don't think there's a problem with taking a shot at some level of reduction to see if we're sustaining ourselves or if it is strictly marketing that is sustaining us.
So kind of my question for you guys to think about is, we should have a strategy on interfacing with the TDA, because I think we want to bring this back up in the long session. And I don't know that sending the shot across the bow is the right strategy. That's my only concern, right? So if the thought is we're going to tell them we're going to let the money build up while we work with the legislature, I think that's reasonable. But I think if you're going to do something like that, you should do it before they come to you to approve their budget at the last minute, right? I mean, so we've already poked the bear a little bit, right? So the TDA, the reason this, in my opinion now, so not for the rest of council or for you guys to say anyone, but Dave Hegler's opinion, right? The reason it did not go to the legislature is because the TDA leadership submarined it. That's my opinion, right? So don't get mad at the whole council when you go back and talk at your meeting. And I think we need to work on a strategy to work with the TDA on doing the right thing. And I think while I like your front-end approach, sort of, I don't think that this is the best way to start off a long-term working relationship by cutting a budget at the last minute. That's my personal
opinion. The TDA was aware, I made them very clear, that I was going to try to cut the budget.
Okay. So then you have a backup plan? Did you know that, the mayor?
No, I did not know okay. that, and I don't work for the TDA. I mean, they're our liaison. Two thoughts, if I might, offer, yep. and and with all due respect, one, I guess, where I appreciate your comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. And it's okay if you don't appreciate it.
I do appreciate it. Because I'm not sure. There's been a great deal of thought and research and time mm-hmm. that went into this budget, and I'm not sure where a 25% cut is going to come out of this. Certainly, if that's the directive of the council, then that's what will have to be done. But there's going to be things that are lost and mm-hmm. things. A $140,000 marketing budget is not, it is, I don't mean to dismiss it, it's just not a lot of, it's not a big marketing budget.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And while, Mayor, I appreciate that you have concerns as to whether the town is getting the biggest bang for the buck, I assure you from my experience that the team that is behind these strategies and the thought that goes into it and the research and the amount of work that goes into it for the small amount of investment, you're getting I would do back handsprings for to have the team behind the aquarium that the town has behind it. And that's just what I would like to, I mean, well, it doesn't change your opinion.
It has to be approved for June 30th.
All right.
So, may I follow up on your comments, because I really appreciated them. And yes, you don't do something like this to someone the day their budget is supposed to be approved. And I, too, have been involved in budget cuts on almost every job. And that's usually 2-3%, not 25%. But when I started as liaison with this committee, I went back and I searched magazines and all for the last 2 years to look at the kind of advertising and marketing we were getting. Nancy helped us look at one of the websites. It wasn't the Visit Kerry Beach website, but it was the other one with the Wilmington beaches, and then brought it to the committee. I even had some concerns from some of you that I brought to the committee, and we talked about what was good, what was bad. I learned a lot, an awful lot that I did not know, that I don't think we've ever really seen the details in years past that this committee goes through and that our consultants go through. So that was tremendous educational part for me. And also, any changes we recommended, the committee addressed and looked at them. The consultants went back and the staff, TDA staff, went back and made some changes, made some improvements, made the committee members themselves had some recommendations. And I think they came up with an excellent plan, and I think the budget is reasonable for a small town like this. It's not huge like most of the towns in this area are, but I just, if you want to do this, you need to spend the next year talking about what it is you don't want them to do. What is it you don't like? Do you not want weddings on the beach? So cut out all of this,
we need to spend
this coming year talking right. about what we want and don't want, and talking to the TDA, and not just do this at the last minute.
Okay, let me, I would just like to make one point on all of this, and it is because I'm trying to think of this. This is, to me, this is not an issue with the TDA. It's not an issue with the town marketing. It is the fact that cash is finite in this town.
Well, we can't touch it.
Hang on. Yeah. Cash is finite in this town. And if we have to come up with 17.5% share for Beecher Nourishment, I just want the citizens to know that they're going to have to write a check, a big check.
But we can't
so touch we can either money. Take we can either take cuts in town services, potentially, or you might have to take cuts in other areas. So maybe 25% is a lot, but I just think we need to be to look at this thing in the aggregate of all the needs of this town with our $3.5 million budget and be aware of where we're putting our cash and what the return is on the cash. Some things we have choices on, some things we will not. That's the only point that I would make. So if some people think this is a vendetta, maybe for some it is. For me, it's not. I'm just trying to look at this thing in its totality and consider what we may have to do.
But you do understand that this money will just sit there.
Well, it's not going to get used for anything else.
I'd cut their whole budget if I thought I could have $150,000 a year for each
retreat. So back to the details. Back to the details, right? So this, we need to work with the TDA on this issue, right? Because for it to get to Raleigh and this money to ever be released, we have to figure out how to get the legislators to change the way the law is. And my submission to council is the $33,000 that we would cut out right now, if we ever get access to it, which I don't know that we will hurt that long-term strategy, right? So I'm not saying that I don't agree with you in principle that, hey, you know, this money, I think more of it should move to sand than for marketing. Because what really happens is all the money that's taken in, they create a budget to spend that money. That's what happens, right? And so if the money was changed, they would create a strategy to deal with whatever the funding was. That's how it really works. And what I'm saying is we want them to do that. Doing it this way, in my opinion, Dean, will not help us on that long-term issue, which we're going to work on.
I think it needs to be, you know, the money's going to go into a pool, it'll stay there.
I know, I'm not saying.
If it goes back, if we see that there's a real decrease in the numbers, then we'll, next year you'll even have more money. But let's cut it this time and see if it works.
Okay, well, I make a motion we pass the budget as submitted.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
I make a motion.
Nope. You gotta say no.
No.
Yes. All opposed?
All opposed? No.
Opposite.
No.
Just two.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you guys gonna vote or no?
You have to clear on the vote.
Come on, folks.
Are we? No. Craig said no. I said no, Steve.
Well, I have a question before I give my vote.
Fair enough.
Do we have to go 25% this first year?
I think 25%.
I think we can have a discussion.
Well, right now we have to say it's all, or we'll have to discuss it after you vote. Because right now the motion is the full budget.
All right. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now
let's get some clarification.
I made a motion to pass the budget as it stands, and it was two to three against. So it did not pass.
Okay.
The yeses were Emily and I.
You voted against.
That's
yes.
Pretty
obvious.
There you go. So now, you can discuss now.
We'll discuss it now. Steve?
So what are you thinking?
Well, do we have, I mean, like I said, you have to take 25% from it. Can you look at half or maybe 15%?
You can look
at it. Give them the opportunity to, you know, work on reducing your budget. they're taking. That's a large chunk of money right out of taking that out from under their feet.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I think 25% is aggressive.
Yeah.
So why don't you...
22.5%.
Well, then I would recommend 5 to send the message that the three of you guys want to send, but to not change anything drastically. But whatever, y'all are up now.
What's that mean?
I would recommend like 12.5%, not 25%.
They'll talk it out, right? Whatever number you got.
I recommend 15%.
To be rational about this, I think... You know, as professionals, we face 10% cuts from time to time. I think exceeding 10% is probably incredibly disruptive and maybe destructive.
Right.
But we need to get better, and we can't just increase these budgets to the available cash.
How much was your rollover last year?
14 or the year before?
The year before.
This year was only $885.
Yeah. The year before.
19,000.
There you go.
Boom. For media. It was more than that for the public.
That's fine. That's okay. Okay.
I'd recommend 10%. That would be my
decision. I was second then.
I move we cut the budget 10%.
You got a second?
The marketing budget
10%.
And I seconded that.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
All opposed?
Okay. Passes 3-2.
Thank you.
3-2. 3-2.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. It's all right. Relax, guys.
Okay,
next one.
Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
Nope.
Planning and Zoning Commission. Yay. Okay.
And Craig Galbraith, Chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission. One of the things I've learned over the last couple of years is that I like to bring things before the council before we spend a lot of time developing, because it does take a long time to be able to study and write an ordinance. So we have two things that I want to talk about. One I brought up last time, which has to do with what is called a short-term rental certificate. I think I need the example of a university town that has this to try to manage the process of and some of the problems related with rentals. The council directed me to go back and study if there are any certificate or ordinance out there that's appropriate for beach communities, and that's what we actually have done. It turns out that this is a very common thing, that short-term rentals, and short-term is almost always universally defined as rentals under 30 days, is a very, very common. Probably every single beach community on the West Coast has a short-term certificate process. Almost every community in the northern part of the eastern, as well as in Florida, fewer in South Carolina and North Carolina. I do know that Rice Beach is looking at exactly the same thing. And so we did look at a lot of it. We probably looked at about 50 or 60 different examples that were out there. They range all over the place from very, very simple sort of things to very complicated sort of things. Inevitably, the issues are exactly what motivated us in the first place to look at this. Number one is probably parking. A lot of these beach communities are very worried about the parking element, where you've got a beach house or something like that, and all of a sudden 20 or 30 people show up at the beach house and they bring 20 or 30 cars. So parking is one of the major concerns of this. Second is probably safety. That was the other thing that kind of motivated this. The collapse of the deck in Oak Island, I believe it was. Got us thinking about these sort of things. So obviously an inspection process where somebody from the city goes in and makes sure that they have everything in place. Obviously when a house is originally built, there's certain requirements, but these sort of certificates require, say, a once-a-year inspection by a building inspector, somebody to go in and make sure they have fire extinguishers, that sort of thing. Number three is the number of people going in there. Almost all of these do have some sort of limitation. Clearly, they're not trying to restrict the ability of the property owner to rent their property. But what they are concerned about is when you get 20 or 30 people in a small house. And we did a little bit of investigation, and a very typical sort of thing is you might have somebody with a 4 or 5 bedroom house, 4 families rent it, then you end up with 5 or 6 people from each one of the families there, and you end up with 25 people in a 4 bedroom house. So almost all of these have some sort of a restriction. I would say they're almost universally 2 persons per bedroom plus maybe 2 or 4 other people if they have some sort of a fold-out type of bed in the living room or something like that. A lot of them also have what's called a behavioral, for lack of a better word, what I call the posting of proper behavior within the house. As part of that requirement is that, this is a beach community, trash goes out on Tuesday, try to be quiet, after midnight and all these sort of things. A lot of them go into a lot more detail, but those certainly seem to be the kind of primary 5 categories that almost all these people look at. Oh yeah, another one I forgot to mention too, a big concern is a concern about the collection of the room tax. Almost every city does have some sort of a room tax process. Generally, if the property is under contract with a rental agency, that's probably going to get paid through that type of process.